Aben means the land of the dawn. Aki is people from. My people are the Abenaki, the people from the dawn. I am Gerard Rancus Anakwa, and I'm an Abenaki Indian from Tadoussac in Quebec, Canada. My people are a hunting people. We roamed the Mistassini forest and the Laurentide Plateau for many centuries before the coming of the European. From my youngest childhood, I was raised to know that all the creatures of the forest were my brothers and sisters. In our language, there is no word for animal. For we have but one father, the sky, and one mother, the earth. And if there is but one father and mother in all of creation, then all the things in between are brothers and sisters in this life. All the materials of our great civilization were provided for us in nature. There was nothing that we needed that was not provided by our mother, the earth. We know the sky is our father and the creator of all life, but it is the earth, our mother, who sustains all life. And the earth was the first material of our great civilization. Her flesh, the soil, is what we use to grow our food, the corn, the squash, and the beans. Her hair, the grass, the bushes and trees, the bearers of seeds and nuts and fruits, also fed us. But the greatest material of the earth in our way of life was the stones that we found there. And these stones we think of as living things. They're not dead things at all, for they are bones of our mother, the earth. And anything that has life, when you use it, still retains that quality of life. So stone is a living thing to my people. And the things we make from stone has a spirit of its own. We use the flints to make our arrow points and our knives and our tools. And so it is that I decided that I would use flints for my tools. And I gather flints down in Moro Mountain in North Carolina, in a place where people have gathered flint for 12,000 years and made fine tools. And I flake the tools from the flint with the antlers of deer in the same way as these ancient people. And so I feel good following their tradition. It's the oldest tradition I can think of in all the world. And then from there I go to Pacolet, South Carolina, and there is a quarry about 8,000 years old, and there a different kind of stone do they mine. It's soapstone, a very soft stone. And people have gone there for 8,000 years to make the bowls and the pots that they used in their households, and also to make the charms and the amulets and the sacred artifacts of the people. I only take those stones that they left behind, the ones that they found defects in their mining. And they lift these on top of the ground, and I find them, and I can still feel their hands on these pieces. And each piece is a different shape, and I see different things in them. I see my brothers and sisters in life in every piece of those stone. The bear, the beaver, the badger and the otter, the hawk and the owl and the eagle, the salmon. All these things I see and more, all my brothers and sisters in life. All that I do is take the shapes that are there provided for me by these ancient people. All these pieces they left on the ground have a spirit in them, and I just bring out the spirit. I only remove the stone that encases it, all the stone that isn't the thing that I want to see. And when I'm finished, then I put in the spirit lines. I engrave them, and then I inlay them with gemstones from America, all different kinds that I've been taught are stones that are used for healing or to open up spiritual gateways to the other world. I use malachite and turquoise. I use the abalone shell and the pearl and many, many more. For these are stones that have a special meaning, and they too are bones from our mother, the earth. Many of the ideas that I have come to me in dreams, in the darkest hours of the night. My father was a dreamer, and he taught himself to wake up from dreams, and he would record very carefully the things that he saw, and so he taught me too. And so most of the things that I make are things of dreams. We have a belief that there is a dream weaver that sits in the sky. It's the one that weaves the beauty of our life like a great rug. All the brightest colors, all the brightest threads does he use, and he weaves a fine design. And when we begin our life, we walk onto this rug, and we follow these bright designs all the days of our life until we reach the end. And so, this is the dream weaver. The dream weaver is always there. It's us that need to go and visit him. And in our dreams, we intrude into another world. And so the things that we see there, the creatures that we see in the spirits, they're always surprised to see us when we intrude into their world, for we are the aliens there. When a spirit intrudes into our world, we become concerned and surprised too, just the same, for these spirits are aliens in our life. But I have learned to welcome them, and I have learned to make the way for myself so that I would be welcomed in their life, in my dreams. And I wake myself up from my dreams, and I record the things that I see there on the other side in that spirit world. We put hoops around our masks and sacred things into our carvings to be a welcoming to the spirits to come into this life and teach us what they can from the other side. I hope someday, like my father, to go into the other side and teach there, and maybe they'll understand our world better too. I came into a new world when I left my dear Quebec. It was a world that I had only begun to understand in the boarding schools in Canada. But you can never be prepared for a thing that you have not seen. As much as people will tell you about a thing, it does not prepare you. And so for a long time, I had some difficulty in understanding different languages and different ways and different attitudes with life. I became entrapped in the cities of man, and I became accustomed to them in some way. In others, I could never blend in. I became a Métis, a walker between worlds. And though I walked between two worlds, I belonged in neither one. And after a long time of this, I had to decide which world I would live in, and live in one or the other. And I could. I chose the old way of life, the one that was most comfortable to me, and the one I knew since the beginning of my memory, and the one that made my family happy. And I think when I left my home so long ago, my mother and father knew that I would never go back, but that the things that they taught me, I could never let go of. They gave me a father and mother to go with me, the sky and the earth, and I could never be out of their sight. And these things guide me now. I see many of our old things in the museums all over the world, for I've traveled the world and I've seen many of the things of my people. I am one of the few Abenaki that has seen our wampums in London at the Museum of Man. I have a great hope in the work that I do and the work that other Indian artists do that are friends of mine. Because oftentimes when I go to museums and see our things, it's almost like my people died sometime a long time ago, maybe before 1900, we became extinct when I see the exhibits of our antiques. I would like people to see the things we are doing today, because there are more artists among my people today than there ever were. And I have been told when I went home that there are more of my cousins hunting in the Mistassini and Laurentide forest than there ever were in the past. And so I am proud to know that our life is great. Our life is getting greater. After I left my home, I walked about this earth and became sadder and sadder at the things I saw. I walked with my head bowed and my shoulders bent to see some things that seemed so terrible to me in the treatment of my mother, the earth, and the lack of regard for the spirit of things. My heart broke, and I walked about with a life so small that I could carry it under my fingernails. But I took heart again in the old ways of my people after so many years, and I did at last what my father told me to do, to carve monuments to my people, small monuments. And then my life changed. A new spirit came back into me, an old spirit too. And my life became so great that the sky could not cover my life. The mountains and forests of my home could not contain my life, and the wind and the river could not move it. In every mask, in every carving of stone, I hear a voice. I hear a great voice, like the wind blowing through the trees and the bushes of my Mistassini forests. A great wind that blows out of the mountain and bends the bough of the spruce and the cedar whispers through every piece of stone and every piece of wood that I've carved. It whispers to me, and it whispers to our time, and it says, look now, you are ancestors to generations yet still to be born. And so I have these things to give into time, and it will last far beyond me. And though I gather this stone, and I fashion it with my hands, it is my Father's heart that guides the work, and these things are not mine. For I will rise and pass from this place, and the stone and the wood will be here far beyond me. And no one owns anything in this life, but all these things are things of life, and we cannot carry them into the land of spirits. And so, what we do with our hands is what we leave to this world. It's to this care and keeping that I do this work, that people will know the name of my country that has been lost from the maps, the beautiful country, the land of the dawn, the land of the Abenaki.
Yeah.